T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It is 11 minutes past 11 o'clock on a Sunday night here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Steve Thompson in. Typically, you hear me on Saturdays and Sundays. Here it is late on a Sunday night. We'll carry you over until 4 on a Monday morning. Shaletta Brundage is our producer. Devin Marshall will be along a little bit later on in the program. And Shaletta, Monday, 2 weeks since George Floyd died in police custody. And Shaletta, you have been a big part of what's transpired here on News Talk, K3OWCCO, and our coverage of the wake of George Floyd's death. And Monday is the beginning of the memorial in the town where he spent most of his life, and that is Houston, Texas. And I know you're very familiar with Houston.
Yeah, the church where the funeral will be is down the street from my mother's house.
Oh, wow.
The high school that he graduated from in 93. I graduated from the rival high school in 1990. The park where they are having the protests in Houston for him, Emancipation Park, which was founded by free slaves, is the park where I grew up playing at. So there's so much interconnection there. How, you know, he was from Houston and moved to Minneapolis, and so did we. And so it's just his memory and the movement associated with his murder have just touched my family in a way that I can't even describe, which is why I said, you know what? It starts with one person. You know, Rosa Parks sat on the bus, and just her doing that created, you know, the civil rights movement and took it to a national level. And I said, you know, I'm one person, but I can be a Rosa Parks. I can make my voice heard. I can help people understand what it's like to be black in Minnesota, how I have to talk to my children about police and their interaction to keep them alive, and making sure that all voices are heard right here on WCCO Radio. We held a town hall on Saturday, and me and Sheriff Tim Leslie from Dakota County, and we had police officers and members of the law enforcement, an attorney, a minister, a community organizer, and community leaders to talk about how we move forward. Because, Steve, this man's body is gone. He's in Houston. That's where he'll be buried. But we're left here to pick up the pieces of everything that happened, and we got to find a way to work together to move forward. And that's what I'm hoping that my little part is in all of this, that I can help our city and our state move forward to a place of healing and wholeness after the murder.
And the way forward is what is being discussed and what you discussed. And I think it's extremely important, because the Minneapolis City Council is trying to find a way forward, and I'm not sure if they're getting a lot of people on board this idea, talking about defunding and dismantling Minneapolis police. That's created a lot of concern. I know you have strong thoughts. I heard Henry's comments on this as
what
well.
What do you think
earlier
about
in
that,
the day,
Steve?
Today.
What do you think about this, Steve?
Well, this is something I brought up on the program when it became clear that there were a number of people, and it sounds like 9 of the members of the 13-member city council are in favor of moving forward in this direction. I'm just not sure how that's going to work. We're going to need to have a lot more dialogue about this idea going forward. There needs to be change. There is no doubt about it. I don't know too many people that aren't on board on that. But this defunding and dismantling the Minneapolis police, I think that caused a lot of concern.
It did. And I was all for being against this idea until I heard City Councilman Ellison talk about why they were doing it and how they pay out millions of dollars and, you know, settlement, and how, you know, a large segment of the population don't even feel like police help them anyway. You know, they don't feel, you know, protected. And so, I, you know, I heard some of the arguments, and, you know, and Steve Simpson sent me a note about Camden, New Jersey, and how they have defunded the police and come up with another way to keep and protect the community safe. So I need to do a little bit more listening, because I want to make sure I'm not rushing to judgment, just shooting it down, because, you know, we've got to find a better way. And what we've been doing so far, Steve, it ain't working.
Right.
I mean, Rodney King was 30 years ago, and we thought, we got this video. There's no way that these officers are going to get off. You know, they're going to convict them. They're going to send a strong message. And they never went to jail. And, you know, they burned Los Angeles to the ground after that verdict came out. You know, and before that, they shot Dr. King down in broad daylight. For everybody to see, and we thought, surely this is it. It's, you know, we're gonna end it. This is it. We're not gonna stand for it, you know. And it just hurts my heart that we're gonna just, you know, move from this story to the next story, and go back to business as usual. You know, I hope that doesn't happen.
And Shaletta, that is a great point, because I think up front, people hear what was said at Powderhorn Park today and say, whoa, how are we going to do this? Because there are instances where the police or law enforcement in some form, domestic assaults, bank robberies, all of these sorts of things happen in communities large and small all over the country. People are wondering, there needs to be somebody there to enforce the laws and round up the people who break the laws. What does that look like? And I think that is a good point. It's not going to happen overnight. There's been talk, this will take time to formulate a plan. As you pointed out, there are other communities that have moved in this direction. There's no doubt there needs to be change. And one of the huge stories, and the story on Saturday, was Mayor Jacob Frey showing up in that, or at that protest in Northeast, and saying that he's not in favor of this plan, and they asked him to leave. And that'll be one of the big stories that comes out of this weekend. What happens Saturday to Mayor Frey ultimately at that protest, and then what happened today at Powderhorn Park and what was said. I don't know if you have another take on that, but it seems to me those are the two big stories out of the weekend.
The memorial service, and, you know, for George Floyd, the second memorial service was a huge story.
North Carolina.
Then he'll be funeralized finally and laid to rest in Houston on Tuesday. But when I saw with my own eyes what happened to Mayor Frey out there at that protest, and then, you know, the tone and the mood of the city has changed. And, you know, we've got to really open our eyes to see what the people are asking for. And this country was built on, you know, the will and the movement of the people. You know, that's how change happens. You know, the civil rights struggle, the women's movement, the, you know, LGBTQ movement. It was all based on the will of the people to say enough is enough. We've got to change. We can't do this anymore. This has been wrong for years. We've got to fix it. And this is how we do it. I think we are living in history, because I think what we're seeing, Steve, is that a lot of police departments are about to get defunded. And before you say that they can't do it or it's crazy, they've been doing it to teachers for years. I mean, I'm sure you can talk to some of your wives' friends where they have taken money out of education by the millions of dollars. You know, no libraries, all of a sudden, no music departments, all of a sudden, no art departments, all of a sudden, no athletics, no libraries. Some schools, they don't even put books in the schools. They make copies and do handouts and so we've seen, government money and funding come flying out of public institutions before. Education is one of them that comes to mind for me. It is possible.
Yeah, and I think what we've heard over the weekend has a tendency to scare people, and you make a great point. Let's see what the plan is, ultimately what it looks like. And ultimately, me living here in the suburbs, I have no say. The people of the city of Minneapolis need to come to agreement on what this is going to look like going forward. And I think where Jacob Fry maybe ran afoul of the protesters was saying that in some way, shape, or form, he was in favor of maintaining the status quo, and that's not what they wanted to hear on Saturday. They did not want to hear the status quo. And maybe as the plan comes to light and what people have in mind, that people who need protection of some sort, because you think of all these incidents, if there's a drunk driver on the loose and he or she are driving erratically, we need some mechanism to get that drunk driver off the road. And typically that's the role of law enforcement in some way, shape, or form. So what that looks like going forward is really going to be the thing that ultimately the city council and ultimately the people of the city of Minneapolis need to decide.
And, they're talking about the community coming together. Look, if my neighbor's over there and her husband are having a domestic dispute, don't call us. I don't want my husband to lose his life because he's over there trying to play cop and fix that situation.
Right.
We need to call trained and trusted law enforcement officers to de-escalate the situation. They've been trained for that sort of thing. And think about drugs and gangs, Steve. I can't imagine that we wouldn't be overrun with that kind of stuff if we didn't have law enforcement to keep the bad. They're bad people out there, Steve. I mean, we got some bad police officers, but there's some bad people out there who would take advantage of that.
Yeah, and that is a gigantic challenge. So they need to be heard out. 9 of the 13 are in agreement, and they are going to move forward with this plan, whether the mayor is on board or not. Another thing, Shaletta, that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and one of the things we're going to visit about tonight, is big picture. What ultimately will the politics of this be? We've seen that emerge over the past 13 days, soon to be 14 days. Tomorrow will be the two-week anniversary of George Floyd's death, and there will be a viewing in Houston, as Shaletta mentioned, and then the funeral service on Tuesday, and he will be laid to rest, where he spent most of his life, born in North Carolina, lived in Houston most of his days, and then spent some time here in Minneapolis. But for me, that's ultimately going to tell the story here. What are the politics of this? How does this transform what happens in the city of Minneapolis? What happens in the state of Minnesota? And then what happens all around the country? Will this ultimately affect change? And will political leaders be elected, reelected on this idea that there will be meaningful change?
And I just hope and pray that what lawmakers are doing right now is for the good of the people. And we don't have people pandering, trying to move up the political ladder, using this tragedy as a stepping stone because they have an agenda. I just hope and pray that everybody's heart is pure, because I would not want anybody to use this moment, to use this murder, to use this movement to their own benefit. That's my fear and concern. While we're looking to our leaders to lead us, I just hope that they lead us in the right direction. Because, you live in the burbs, but if they defund police in Minneapolis, you're going to be affected. Everybody who lives in the state of Minnesota, if they defund police in Minneapolis, all of us, and I'm way 45 minutes away in Cottage Grove, we will all be impacted in some way or another.
Yeah, and ultimately how that looks forward. And I think one of the reasons I think they're going in this direction is because there is the Minneapolis Police Federation, led by Lieutenant Rob Kroll, who has been a lightning rod of controversy, not just over this incident, but a number of incidents over the years in his leadership of the Minneapolis Police Federation, their union. And maybe this is a way that the members of the city council and the people believe that we need to go in a completely different direction is to change that dynamic as well. And that is one of the concerns. You brought up public education and other public entities where people have demanded change or want change, or these public institutions need to do better by the people, do better for the people. It ultimately comes down, some of the concerns, and I'm in favor of unions, but maybe in this case, a union is standing in the way of meaningful change.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And if we can't, you know, at some point, if we can't work together, somebody's got to get out of the way. Somebody's got to stand down, or somebody's got to be set down, so that we can move forward and make the change that needs to be made, so that everybody can feel safe. Steve, I'm tired of having to talk with my kids. I'm tired of my children not being able to just go in the store and put their hands in their pocket. I'm tired of them having to be on high alert. My son can't just walk to Subway and daydream and whistle. He has to walk and be on the lookout that there may be, you know, a rogue law enforcement officer who may want to do him harm. You know, I'm tired of living like that. I'm tired of living on pins and needles. I want my kids to be able to be innocent at 13, 7, 6, and 5 and not have to be worried about whether or not when the police stop us, if their mom's going to die because I got a tail light out, or be excited. Steve, this week, my kids were excited every day that their dad came home from work. They got nervous at like 5 o'clock if he wasn't there. They wanted me to call to make sure he was okay. That's where we are right now. And that's where we were in the 50s and the 60s. We should be going forward. What did Dr. King die for if we're not going to have a better life?
It's got to be exhausting to live that way.
I am drained. I am worn the F out, Steve, to try and put on a smile and come in here and do my job and then go home and protect my children and keep them sane and pray for my husband that he makes it to and from work and trail my son as he walks to the store, or have to give him the talk before he goes. And then by the time he gets back from just going to get, you know, a BLT with extra banana peppers, his nerves are fried and he can't even eat because the whole way there and back, he was afraid somebody was going to stop him, or he forgot that he put his hand in his pocket, or he doesn't want to just go with my credit card because somebody might think he stole it. And so he can't go at all because we don't have any cash on hand. You know, that is just not how we're supposed to be living in 2020.
Yeah, and I was going to say, did you imagine when you were a younger woman that we'd still be dealing with this, and
no,
you would be dealing with this?
No,
in 2020,
Steve, I'm giving my kids the same talk my mama gave me, and she gave me the same talk her mama gave her, and she gave her the same talk. My great grandmother, 99 years old, is still alive, and she was telling me the story how she would come home. They had like a little one-room school where, you know, all the kids went. And on the way home from school, she said they had their little, you know, things that they had in their little, you know, satchels or whatever. And they didn't go for long. But on the way back to the fields, because they were sharecroppers, she said that there would be men hanging from trees. And they were there because police put them there. And deacons and preachers and Klan members, they were all standing around smoking cigarettes and pipes watching these black men hang from these trees. And she said the kids would look up to see if it was somebody that they knew. And it was always some, you know, because, you know, she's in Opelousas, Louisiana. So it's not like it's a big community. And she said she would look up and it would be somebody's uncle or brother or cousin. And this is a child looking at a dead man's face to see if it's somebody that she knows, and he's hanging from a tree and she's powerless to do anything. And I think about the little girl who videotaped George Floyd being murdered in broad daylight, basically being lynched on the streets of our city. She's just a few years older than my son. And just like my grandmother 90 years ago, she's watching a black man die at the hands of police for no reason other than the fact that he's black. How far have we come?
Yeah. It has been a difficult 13 days where we all look in the mirror and try and find a way forward. Shaletta, quick break coming up. Always good to visit with you. Shaletta Brundage, once again, and by the way, I would assume at the website WCCRadio.radio.com, that entire town hall is available for people to review if they didn't hear it. It was live between 4 and 7 on Saturday, and then replayed again Sunday morning between 9 and noon here on News Talk 830 WCCO. So we invite people to go to that. Race and community policing, Shaletta with Dakota County Sheriff Tim Leslie and many others, first aired on Saturday 4 to 7, and then again today between 9 and noon here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 11:31. Quick break. We'll have the weather in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.